Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, the name above all names. I ask, Lord, that you would just send the Holy Spirit to speak through my lips right now, that your truth be proclaimed, that you alone be glorified and lifted up on high, that your word takes root, just as Jesus is the root of David, the living word take root inside us. And as it takes root, that it would turn into fruit for your kingdom. Bless this time. Open ears to hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Are we started, Brian? Back here? We're good? Okay. Let's turn over to Revelation 4. And let's read again the whole chapter. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Did we just sing that? Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him, who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. As we are sitting here, communion, Katie, I thank you so much for being obedient. Holy Spirit. Katie says, I want to know what's ahead. I want to know what's planned out. And the Lord just spoke to my heart right there. Saul was blinded on the road to Damascus. He was equipped to become Paul. Paul was ushered into the third heaven, and he saw things he could not describe. And I think, do you not think that the Lord was preparing Paul for what he was about to endure throughout the New Testament, the things he wrote, the shipwrecking, the beatings, the stories, all for his glory, because he got a glimpse of glory. And I'm telling you right now, Revelation is a glimpse of the glory to come. You are seeing the throne room to prepare yourself for the days ahead. When persecution comes against you because you're proclaiming the name of Jesus, you think about the throne room and the things that are to come. You know that we are at the end of a dispensation, that Jesus could come any moment, and you are ready and willing to sacrifice all. You give it all. And that's what Paul was willing to do, because he saw glory. He was blinded. He persecuted the church, and he was changed. He was a new man, just as you are, new people, new hearts, new given. The Holy Spirit resides inside you. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Awesome. So we're seeing the throne right here. This is just a quick review. After these things, I looked and behold, a door standing open in heaven. That door being open, that could be the door being open to the kingdom for us. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet. That's the Lord behind him saying, come up here. I will show you the things which must take place after this. Remember, after this, after the dispensation, after the church age, these things which are about to occur, these are the things of the future, which are very close to happening. And immediately I was in the spirit, John says. He was in the spirit. He was in a spiritual dimension. And behold, the throne sat in heaven, and one sat on that throne. That is God the Father. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone. Do you remember the breastplates which the high priest wore? The jasper, which is like resembles Reuben, to the sardis stone, which is to Benjamin, the first and the last. And there was a rainbow around the throne that was emerald in color. And that emerald represents Judah. And how awesome is it that a rainbow, which is God's promise of his covenant that he would never destroy the earth, that around the throne is emerald green, which is the promise of Jesus, the Lion of Judah, that we have access to him, that we could be reconciled back to God through Jesus. Hallelujah. None other. Jesus alone. And around that throne were 24 elders, or 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. These elders we talked about are most likely redeemed men. They're sitting on the throne. They're ruling in some capacity in a lower level, just as Jesus promised us as overcomers. They have crowns of righteousness, which are for the overcomers. They're clothed in white robes. And so we see this picture, and there's 24 elders, and there's the Ancient of Days sitting on his throne, ruling and reigning and ready, getting ready to make war. That's what's about to happen, folks. He's ready to make war with the world. For those who reject it. And that's how serious things are. War is serious, folks. It is serious. And from the throne, from that throne where the Ancient of Days is, proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. And seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So around the throne are the elders. And from the throne proceeds those lightnings and thunderings of voices. This describes the judgment of the throne and just the very scenery of the throne room that will occur once the Lord is handed the scroll. Can you picture? I think about years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago, when was that Sanibel trip? We went to Sanibel as a family with my wife's family, and we're staying in this condo. And this storm comes rolling in, and the thunder, the building got struck by lightning. And the thunder was so intense, like everything shook to the core. And the lightning, you just feel the energy, and you could see it outside, and it was like a strobe light, and everything was lit up. And I think about the awe, sheer power that was displayed at that moment. I mean, think about that. You guys were there. You experienced it. It was like, whew. It was just like, you can't even bottle that. I mean, it was just, it's amazing. It's raw. And this is a raw vision that we can picture, because we've seen thunderstorms come through with the power and judgment of our God, because it rocks you to the core. That thunder rocks you to the core. I remember Jen and I were walking on the beach one time. Oh, this is great. It's raining. And it was like, oh, there's no thunder and lightning. And then literally lightning struck like maybe 10 feet away from us in the Gulf, and the crack of thunder. And we sprinted home. It was about 2 miles. We were 2 miles away from the condo, and we were like running. And I'm like, mm-mm. we do not belong out here right now. But those moments for me, I felt the awesomeness and power of our God. And it captivates you in awe and wonder and in fear. And in fear. Reverential fear for our God, right? You have nothing to fear for you that are in Christ, right? But you have reverential fear for how great He is. So these demonstrate that the throne is one of judgment and that the wrath of God is about to proceed from it. Psalm 29, verse 1 through 4 says, "Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due to His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. For the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. And the voice of the Lord is powerful. And the voice of the Lord is full of majesty." That's what the psalmist wrote. Another one, just talk about the sheer power, the lightnings and thunderings. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 28, talks about, "For you have not come to the mountain." This is the mountain here is Sinai, which represents the law. That's where the law, the Mosaic law, was given to Moses. "That may be touched and that burned with fire and to blackness and the darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore." See, the word of the Lord is powerful, and the law is that. And it pierces, right? Well, for some, suppress the truth. I don't want to hear that anymore, right? They don't want to hear the truth anymore. "For they could not endure what was commanded." We can't live by the law. We're not perfect beings. We cannot commit and live to the law perfectly. "And if so much as a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned or shot with an arrow. And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, 'I am exceedingly afraid and trembling.' But you, beloved, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." We're going to be there, folks, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven. Are you registered in heaven? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? "To God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant," hallelujah, "and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks." That's the suppressing of truth, right? Don't refuse it. "Do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying this, yet once more." Now, take the throne room you just saw and that picture. "Yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven." The thunderings and lightnings are proceeding from the throne, and the heavens are going to be shaken. "Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, and as of the things that are made, and the things which cannot be shaken may remain." He's going to shake the earth and the heavens to loose that. "Therefore," since it's like, be on the rock. Build your house on the rock. Because when things get shaken, you don't want it to crumble. When that storm comes, "therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve our Lord," serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. "For our God is a consuming fire." He's a consuming fire. How is the world going to be consumed? By fire. By fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Let us have grace. Let us exhibit that grace to others. Use opportunities. Use opportunities. "And from the throne there were seven lamps of fire which were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." You guys learned this already within Revelation 1. And then with the study of the churches, this is representative of the Holy Spirit, folks. These lamps are to be the seven spirits of God. Again, reference in Isaiah. This could possibly explain the seven spirits: the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, understanding, spirit of counsel, spirit of power, spirit of knowledge, and spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Holy Spirit is that source of light that empowers the church. It's not by your strength. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And when the Comforter came, what happened? What happened? Pentecost, folks. It was poured out. 3,000 souls saved. Boom. Like that. That's power. And that's the Holy Spirit. That's not of man. That's authentic power. What we just talked about before church started. The continual burning is the indication of judgment. John the Baptist, when he talked about Jesus, he said, I indeed baptize you with water on repentance. This is Matthew 3:11. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Hallelujah. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, and he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Nothing escapes the penetrating witness of the Holy Spirit. He's inside you right now. He's inside you right now. And you know what I'm talking about? When you're doing what you shouldn't be doing, and that conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Guilty. Guilty. So this Holy Spirit, it's lit up in fire, and there's lightnings and thunderings and the judgment about to come. And before that throne where the Holy Spirit was, the seven spirits of God, before the throne there was a sea of glass, verse 6, like crystal. Can you imagine how that's reflecting off all the light going on in there? And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures. The King James calls beasts, four living beasts, full of eyes in front and in back. So around the throne are the elders. From the throne is lightning and thunderous voices. And before the throne, the Holy Spirit, the seven lamps of fire. And also before the throne, where the fire is being lit, was a sea of glass like crystal. We see that this crystal floor before us. Later in Revelation 15:2, I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. Oh, what do you know? Interesting. And those who have victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. We see in chapter 5 that the elders have harps. They're playing. They're playing to the Lord. These were those who overcame by the beast, by the blood of the Lamb, and the word of their testimony. That sea of glass later becomes the river of life flowing from the eternal throne, which is a picture of the tabernacle. Amazing. Just I'm so excited just doing this study. It excites me on the inside, and to share it with you. A pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's the mystery of the Trinity. It's going to be amazing when that's revealed to us. Like, we can't comprehend it. Our minds, even the smartest people, cannot comprehend it. It's funny, even the smartest people, the highest IQs, they don't want to accept God even. They're too smart for their own good. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were these four living creatures, full of eyes in front and back. In the midst and around the throne, these four living creatures, these beasts, these are cherubim. These are cherubim. And Ezekiel saw something very similar. And what I would tell you is, we were going to read Ezekiel chapter 1 because you could see the parallels to that in Isaiah. So let's read Ezekiel 1 and see how that compares. It says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, and on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. And on the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel by the priest, son of Buzi, in the land of Chaldeans by the river Shabar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of fire. Also from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. This is like a throne on a chariot with wheels. This is what it is. I just wonder, you know, Elijah was taken by fire, right? Like the chariot came out, whew, you know, I wonder if this is the same. I don't know. We'll find out someday. And it was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. And their wings touched one another, and the creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. There's a picture of these cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant. If you ever look at the images, you'll see it. They're like this. And as for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. And the fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth, and the appearance was like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth, beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And when they moved, they went toward any one of the four directions, and they did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes, and all around the four of them. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them, and when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the spirit wanted to go, they went. Because the spirit went and the wheels were lifted together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up to the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the color of an awesome crystal. Okay? Stretched out over their heads, and under the firmament their wings spread out straight one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. Their wings are creating that noise. It sounds like an army. That's impressive. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament over their head was the likeness of a throne in appearance like a sapphire stone. And on the likeness throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around it, within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw was the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. That's a mouthful as far as a vision. I can't explain all it to you right now because I didn't have time to interpret it or break it down. But I can tell you this. It's a glorious vision. And it parallels a lot to what John saw. Ezekiel, Isaiah. Isaiah had a very similar experience when he was called in Isaiah 6, and just briefly, the six verses. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. These are part of cherubim, but they're a different name. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Another vision of the throne. You can see similarities of both of these to what John saw. So Ezekiel's creatures inhabit the throne. They're winged. They have similar representations of a lion, a calf, a man, an eagle. However, Ezekiel's had four wings. The one creatures have six. Ezekiel's creatures had all four faces of a man, whereas these have the characteristics on all sides. Oh, sorry, all four faces versus each. These only had one characteristic, right? Maybe he just saw it from that point of view. Ezekiel's creatures don't make reference that they have eyes, but there is a reference to the eyes on the chariot, right, and the wheels. But perhaps Isaiah's seraphims had six wings, so because these cherubim are amongst the throne, maybe it's a hybrid of like the cherubim that we saw in Ezekiel and the seraphim in Isaiah, because of the place that they're given. I mean, they're sitting around the throne of God. And maybe it's just a different description, but what I can tell you is what John saw was a glorious vision of the throne of God, and something that does not exist here on earth, okay? The living creatures. And he's trying to articulate that to us. And these creatures have a high place of authority with God. And they're also part of God's judgment, you'll see here. We'll talk about that in a minute. But these first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. That's in verse 7. And the imagery can really lead you down like the proverbial rabbit hole. And it's not really important to the context of the scripture. So just a real brief description, but not dogmatic. The lion could be a reference to kingly majesty. Calf as service, right? An ox, they serve. Man, maybe intelligence to the wisdom. An eagle to the speed and the soaring. But again, I'm not going to hold to a dogmatic position on that. It's not important to the context. We'll find out someday what the whole representation means. We can ask the Lord ourselves. Verse 8, the four living creatures, though, having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. The eyes, full of eyes, meaning that they have great intelligence. They see all. These creatures are like at the top of the of creation here, of what God created. And the eyes are around within, and they can see all. The way they operate, even the six wings, they have the way they position themselves. They are able to move their wings without disrupting their vision because their eyes are all around and within. I can't even picture like six wings and how that works. You know, it's just amazing. But they do not rest day or night saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. These are real actual beings, folks. These are four living creatures that are special, an exalted order of cherubim, and their purposes of the four, they fall down, they worship the Lamb, Jesus Christ, in chapter 5, we'll see that. And they're offering the same reverence to him that they do to the Father, which again affirms the deity of Christ. It affirms that the Trinity there, that they're three in one, okay? So they're giving worship to the same. We'll see that in chapter 5, along with the 24 elders. These four living creatures, or four living beasts, declare the holiness of God and a leading in worship and adoration of God. There was one who was that was created, and he fell. Lucifer. And they are involved some way with God's justice, for because when he opens the first four seals and sends out the four horsemen in chapter 6, their powerful voices like thunder command, come to each of the four horsemen. That's in chapter 6. And the horsemen respond to the summons of the four powerful creatures, these beasts, indicating the power that these creatures possess. It's also seen in Revelation 15 when one of the four unleashes the last seven plagues of God's wrath on mankind. So these cherubim are exalted orders of angels whose purpose is primarily that of worship, but it also some way involved in bringing about God's divine justice. And they proclaim God's perfect holiness, and they also proclaim to the eternality of God, who was, who is, and who is to come. I still can't comprehend that one. I can't wait to understand it. Like, before time, he was. You know, like, we as humans are finite. We have a time, a beginning, and an end, right? But God was. You can't comprehend that. And whenever the living creatures, verse 9, whenever living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So these angels are not only seen giving glory to God, just as they were in Isaiah 6. No wonder why Isaiah felt unholy and undone. They're giving praise and honor and glory, and they say, holy, holy, holy. The fact that they say it three times gives you a description of how the holiness of our God. They're just affirming it over and over again. The perfection of our God. And they're seen giving thanks. Thanks for what? For what God has done in creation all the way to redemption, which is a reference to my father's thesis. So we see here the true nature of worship and praise to God alone. Satan wanted that for himself. That's why he led the rebellion. He wanted to be worshipped. And he has spread his venom of pride and idolatry of self to puff up mankind, man's self, right? Since the garden. That's what he wants, to take away the glory from God and to build you up as an individual. That's his desire. And God is about to set things straight and put Satan in his place. It's what's going to happen. So we here see who alone is worthy of all praise, glory, and honor, for he has all power and authority. And as a result of the praise and worship that happens, what happens is the 24 elders, the representation of mankind, they fall down before the throne. And they're praising and they cast their crowns. They're sitting on their thrones, but they move into an act of worship and fall flat down on their faces. That is not a sign of pride, folks. That is a sign of humbleness. Isaiah said he felt undone, because when you stand before an awesome, holy, perfect God and righteous God who created you, one can only fall in awe and in wonder. That's why every knee will bow. See, we bow now. We bow now. We cut out our pride. We accept Christ. We bow now, but there will those who are not covered in Christ's righteousness who will bow when they stand before him. What a stark contrast that will be when that day comes. And these elders are casting their crowns before the throne. Their crowns of faithfulness for being an overcomer are being cast before the throne, because why would they cast them? Because it's not by their own works that they did it. It's for by grace, right? But God, Ephesians 2, because you got to hear the gospel, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Aren't the elders doing that? They're sitting there around the throne, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I had nothing to do with it. My crown, the crown you give me as an overcomer, I cast at your feet. Because you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy of all praise, glory, and honor. And so the elders fall to their face, casting their crowns before the throne. They say, you are worthy, O Lord. Not I am worthy, look at me. No, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things, and by your will they exist and created. The glory, which is a good opinion concerning one, resulting in praise, honor, and glory. It's a splendor and brightness. It's the magnificent excellence and preeminence and dignity and grace and majesty. A majesty, a thing belonging to God, the kingly majesty which belongs to him as a supreme ruler. Majesty in the sense of absolute perfection of deity. That's a mouthful, isn't it? For the glory, just in that word right there, in glory. In honor. Honor, which is a value by which the price is fixed, of the price paid or received for a person or thing, bought or sold. We were bought at the auction block. Power, dynamis, strength, power, ability, inherent power. Power residing in the thing by virtue of its nature. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, or hosts. He's about to unleash his army, folks. Whew. So creation. So God created all things. And that alone is the testimony of God. For the wrath of God in Revelation or Romans 1, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. God has shown it to every single person through creation. God, the Creator, has revealed himself to us through creation. And there are those who suppress that truth. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And by your will they exist and were created. Romans 11, 33-36 says, oh, the depths of the riches of both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, and who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So by your will they exist and were created. God the Creator, and you guys got to understand this part, so stay with me, okay? God the Creator, because he's the Creator, that is the foundation of which we worship him, because he alone is the Creator, and all else is creation, right? We are his creation, creatures, all the animals, etc. So we're entirely dependent upon him, and we're entirely dependent upon him and his will for continued existence. So by your will they exist. That's present tense. By his will we exist. And past tense, we're created. Okay? For of him and through him are all things. And the reason why you need to understand that is the connection between chapter 4 and chapter 5. So you got to stay with me, okay? I'm closing out here, but you just got to stay with me. What's occurring here in the throne, okay? So let's read it together. Come on. Get into, here we go, chapter 4, Revelation 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you the things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardis stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the voice proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne was a glass, sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures, full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was flying like an eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with the seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept such because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, every tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Then the four living creatures said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him who lives forever and ever. Chapter 4 and 5 are completely connected. You got to understand. That's why we had to read them together. Chapter 4 is the throne room, and the subject is creation. And there it will be redemption. Not redemption that was accomplished by the cross, folks, is chapter 5. This is not just a redemption of saved man. This is redemption of the entire created order. Wow, is right. Thank you. That's been subject to Satan since the fall. That's the importance of the connection. The point is that the words announce that when God ushers out his judgment to this earth, he's going to remove the curse that has been on the earth once and for all creation groans. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And what are they seeing in chapter 5? Worthy is the Lamb. He's about to take the scroll, which you will find out is the title deed to earth. Amen. Thank you for staying with me there. The connection is so powerful. Hallelujah. When he does this, it is the end. See, we were saved, justified. We are being saved. We're being sanctified. And we will be saved. We will be glorified. And sin will be no more. Amen? And that is the power of what is about to happen. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for the power of your word. Oh, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the revelation that you give us. To know of the promises that lay ahead, that we could stand in them. No matter what happens here, that we are confident and we hold and cling to the blessed hope of Christ Jesus as he takes back all that was lost. Thank you, Father, for this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You are dismissed.